We'll turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture that we read a little earlier, to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the chapter number 8. God's word open before us. Let us just unite our hearts together in a short word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we just thank Thee for Thy presence with us. We pray, Lord, that Thou will continue to abide with us in this gathering tonight, Lord. We pray that Thou will draw very near. We pray, Lord, for the outpouring of Thy Holy Spirit, for the ministry of Thy Spirit to every heart and soul and individual in the meeting. And Lord, we pray that Thou will give us help to preach Your word as a dying man to a dying people. And Lord, may we know the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit, and give wisdom, give clarity, give plainness, give simplicity, Lord, of speech. And may every word be as thus and thus saith the Lord. Lord, use Thy word, O God, even in this gathering, to see if precious souls to bring them to Christ. Use Thy word, Lord, to restore the backslider we ask of Thee. And Lord, use Thy word to strengthen the saints of Zion. And Lord, use Thy word to exalt our Saviour's name. Lord, abide with us to this end, O God, we pray. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and for Thine eternal glory. Amen. And amen. As we announced this morning, we want to look tonight at the subject, the danger of a false profession. And dealing with that subject, I want us just to focus our hearts and minds upon the words of our little text that we find in the middle of verse 21 of our Bible reading tonight, where it simply says, "For thy heart is not right in the sight of God." For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Speaking of the heart of man, the Lord says through the prophet Jeremiah that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And that is God's description of the heart of man. And that is all due to man's sinful nature before the Lord. Again, speaking about the heart of man, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was here on earth, said, "Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies." And again there the Lord speaks of the natural heart of man, and my every heart has the potential for those evils that the Lord lists there in those verses. And here tonight in Acts chapter 8, we have an example indeed of one who was guilty of a false witness and guilty of deceit. And he is known here in the passage of Scripture before us as Simon the Sorcerer. We read in this chapter how Philip the Evangelist had been preaching the gospel in the city of Samaria. God wonderfully blessed. Many were saved in that city. And in the stir created by Philip's preaching, we see how Simon makes a false profession of a salvation. My, for the applause of men, he is baptized. Outwardly, he joins the church and he pretends to be a follower of the Lord. In the chapter we read of how Peter and John, they arrive in the city from Jerusalem to assess the reality of the recent events and happenings in the city during the revival. And in the course of events, we see how Simon the Sorcerer is exposed as one who had just a mere outward profession of salvation. One who was not genuinely saved or converted by the grace of God. And in putting the spotlight upon the sad tragedy and reality in Simon's life, Peter speaks of it and he speaks to him in the words of our text tonight in verse 21. He says to Simon, "For thy heart is not right in the sight of God." My Simon had been putting on a false charade. He pretended to be saved while he was still lost in his sin. He was hiding behind a false profession of a salvation. You know, people, whenever we think here of Simon, we can say there are many like him, even in the world today. Yes, there are many all over the world, and they too hide behind a false, empty profession of salvation. Yes, they have that profession, yet still they do not know Christ as Savior. They have not been born again of the Spirit of God. They have not been saved by the grace of God. And they're just like this man Simon before us tonight. And for a little while this evening, I want us just to look at this rebuke of Simon for his false profession of salvation that Peter echoed when he said, "For thy heart is not right in the sight of God." There are three things I want you to note in particular why Peter addressed these words to Simon at this time. And I trust that if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, remember you're here and you're hiding behind a false profession of salvation, I pray that God will speak to your heart, that God will awaken your soul. Oh, that as you consider what God says about this man Simon, that you might be awakened yourself to flee from the wrath to come, and to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. First of all, I want you to see here tonight that Simon's heart was not right in God's sight, for he had only an empty profession of salvation. Simon had a head knowledge of Christ, yet still he knew nothing of the Lord's saving grace in his soul. You look at verse 19 of the chapter, you'll see how that awful tragedy is highlighted. By referring to the person of the Holy Spirit, he says, "Give me also this power." And those words show that he was a man who had not the witness of the Holy Spirit in his life. And by the witness of the Holy Spirit is the mark of all who are truly born again of the Spirit of God. You see, God promises in His Word whenever He saves a person, He promises the Holy Spirit to all who will truly repent of their sin and trust Christ as their Savior. He says in Acts chapter 2, "Of such ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." You turn in your Bible back to John's Gospel chapter 14. You'll see here how the Lord speaks to His own disciples about this very matter, how the witness of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is given to all who are truly saved by the grace of God. Look at what the Lord says in verses 16 and 17 of John chapter 14. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter," that's the Holy Ghost, "that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." There you see that the portion of all who are truly saved is that of the Holy Spirit abiding in their heart. It is the witness of the Spirit. But my, this was not the portion of this man, Simon the sorcerer. He had not the Spirit of God. For he says, "Give me also this power." And the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He was a man hiding behind a false profession. Yes, verse 13 there of Acts chapter 8, it says of Simon, it says, "Simon himself believed also." But this is but a reference to a mere head knowledge. It was skin deep with this man, Simon. This man, yes, had a head knowledge of Christ. He assented in his mind, so to speak, to the things of God and the things of Christ. But he had not trusted in his heart in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for his salvation. You see, salvation has to do with the heart. Salvation affects the heart of man. Remember what Paul said in the book of Romans. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. There Paul speaks of the heart being affected in salvation. But this was not so with this man, Simon the sorcerer. There was no dealings in Simon's heart with Christ and with the Lord. He had not believed on Christ as Savior with all of his heart, with all of his soul. Yes, he assented in his mind to the things of God and the things of Christ. But there was not this resting in his heart upon Christ as his only Redeemer, as his only Savior. Am I speaking about the matter of false professions? Old E.L. Moody said, whitewashing the pump won't make the water pure. In other words, false professions cannot change the life. Yes, Simon had an outward show of religion, yet his heart was unaffected. He had not the witness of the Spirit of God within his soul. And you know, there are many just like Simon all over our country. They know about the things of God. They will assent to the things of God. They will acknowledge Christ and his existence as a historical fact. Yet they have not the witness of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. They have not been born again of the Holy Ghost. I remember a man that I used to work with when we were in employment. And we would speak to him about the things of God. And you know, he knew the Bible better than I did. He knew everything about the Bible. He could quote you scripture after scripture. And he could talk to you about the things of God. But he was unsaved. He was unconverted. He was not born again of the Spirit of God. Yes, he assented in his mind to all the things that the Bible said about God and about Christ. But there was no saving work in his heart. There was no saving grace in his soul. I was just like this man Simon before us tonight. And I wonder, is Simon here a picture maybe of one in our gathering this evening? Maybe I'm speaking to one here. Yes, you've been brought up in a Christian home. Yes, you know the gospel. You know the word of God. You know the truth of God's word. Yes, maybe you've been baptized as a child or dedicated. You've been catechized. You know the great truths of the Bible. You've been confirmed. Maybe a member of some particular church. Yes, you have a great head knowledge of God and of Christ and the things of God in your life. Yet you're still not saved. You see, such knowledge cannot save you if it does not affect your heart. You know, the Bible says of the devils, it says they also believe and tremble. You know, the devil believes everything in this book, but he's not saved. The demons of hell and all the fallen angels of hell believe God's word and all that it says about Christ and about God, but they're not saved. The Bible says that the devils also believe and tremble. Yes, they assent to the things of God, the truths of God's word and the truths of God. Yet they're not saved, they're not converted. They have a knowledge of God, a knowledge of the things of God. Yet they're not saved. They don't know the Lord. Oh, friend, please realize this tonight, that if you're not born again of the Holy Spirit, if you're not resting totally upon Christ and His sacrifice alone for salvation, then you'll never be in God's heaven. Why, you're just like Simon before us tonight. You've no hope of heaven. And as it says in our text, thy heart is not right in the sight of God. I wonder, as God looks down upon this gathering, is this God's view upon your heart? A head knowledge of Christ and the things of God? God speaks to your heart through His word tonight, and He comes. He says, thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Peter spoke those words because Simon had only an empty profession, an empty shell about salvation. But notice secondly tonight something else. Simon's heart was not right in God's sight because he thought that money could purchase the gift and the blessing of God in his life. Look at verses 18 and verses 19 of this chapter here before us and how it speaks of Simon. And here you see his attitude. He thought that money could buy the blessing of God and the favor of God. For he speaks to Simon and he speaks to Peter and John and the apostles, and he says he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. There you see that Simon thought that money could buy the favor and the blessing of God. But look at verse 20 and 21 and notice Peter's rebuke of him. It says, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Peter was faithful to his soul. Peter holds nothing back. He faithfully tells him that his money could not buy the blessing of God and the favor of God. You know, when you think of this, you think also of Cain at the very beginning of time. He was of a similar mind. He thought that maybe his wealth, his works, his possessions could buy the favor and the blessing of God. We read of Cain in Genesis chapter 4, and it says of Cain that he brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. He brought the works of his hands before God to try and buy God's favor and God's blessing. It says of God, but unto Cain and unto his offering, he had not respect. God did not delight in the works of his hands. And again, all over the world, there are people and they think that they can buy salvation by their money or by their works or by something that they may do or hope to do. Friend, let me say to you tonight that all your labors and all your money cannot buy God's salvation. No matter what your labors might be, no matter what your works might be, no matter what wealth you may have or accumulate or may seek to give, even to the church or to God's work or to some charity of men, money cannot buy you God's favor and God's blessing. You see, salvation is God's gift to you. And it is a gift that has been purchased at infinite cost by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bible over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter in the chapter number 1. And the verses 18 and 19. And here Peter is writing to Christians, to those who were saved, who are born again of the Spirit of God. And he reminds them that their salvation wasn't purchased by their works. It wasn't purchased by the gold or the silver of men, but it was purchased and paid for in full by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verses 18 and 19 of 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from the fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. There Peter reminded those people to whom he was speaking that redemption, their salvation, was purchased only in and through the blood of Christ. Friend, unsaved tonight, that's a truth you need to realize. You need to understand. That's a truth you need to let to sink down into your heart and into your soul. You can only be saved. You can only be made right with God by faith alone in the redeeming blood of Christ alone. Your sins can only be pardoned by the blood of Christ, not by your works or by your money. The Bible says without shedding of blood there's no remission. Only through the blood of Christ can your sins be remitted or forgiven. You can only be accepted with God through the righteousness of Christ. Your money, your self-righteousness, your good works will give you no acceptance with God whatsoever. The Bible says we are accepted in the beloved, acceptance only with God through Christ. And friend, please also realize that you can only be saved from going down into hell through that same blood of Christ, through the same blood of the Lamb. My God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. Your works, your money, your self-righteousness, all the rites and ceremonies of men that you may put your hand to cannot deliver your soul one iota from going down into the pit of destruction. Only the blood of Christ can save your soul. Only the righteousness of Christ can give you acceptance and peace with God. The hymn writer says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground, says the hymn writer, is sinking sand. If you're like Simon tonight, thinking that somehow you can buy the favor and the blessing of God, you're in sinking sand. You're in a quicksand that will take you down into a lost eternity. And hello, friend, if you think that you can be saved by paying into the church or by some charity or some rite or ceremony of men,
Oh, if you think that somehow through these things you can obtain the favour and the blessing of God through the works and the rites of your own self. Friend, if this is your thinking, God has a message for you tonight in this meeting. And that message is the words of our text tonight. God has to say to you, thy heart is not right in the sight of God. If you think you can be saved and right with God by your money, by your works, by your self-righteousness or some ritual of man, then God has a word for you. He says, thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Yes, we see that Simon's heart was not right, because he had only an empty profession of salvation. He also thought that his money could purchase the favour of God. But one other thing I want you to note tonight. Simon's heart was not right in God's sight. For despite all that he had said and all that he had professed, he was still bound and fettered in his sin. He was still on his way to a lost eternity in hell itself. And you'll see that from the scripture. Look at verse number 23 of the chapter. And notice what Peter says to him. He says, for I perceive. Notice it, that thou wert in the gall of bitterness. And in the bond of iniquity. Iniquity speaks of sin. His money, his empty profession of salvation did not deliver Simon from the bondage and the fetters of sin that bound his life. Peter said, you're in the gall of bitterness. You're in the bond of iniquity. You see, his life was unaffected despite all that he had professed and all that he had shown outwardly to men around him. Yes, his life was unchanged. And he was still a sinner, lost, on his way to a lost eternity in hell. For look at what Peter says to him again in verse number 20 of the same chapter. He says to Simon, Simon, thy money, notice it, perish with thee. He was still a perishing, lost sinner on his way, bound for hell. There was no change in his life. Still fettered in sin. Still bound for a lost eternity and hell itself. You know, it has been said that forgiveness is to be set loose from sins. And you know, if Simon was genuinely saved, he would have been loosed from the bond of his iniquity. And instead of being on his way to hell, he would have been on his way to heaven. The Bible speaks of Christ and it says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. There's a breaking of the fetters of sin when the Lord saves. The Lord gives those whom he saves the gift of eternal life. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life is the gift of God to all who are saved. This was not the case with Simon. He was still a perishing sinner. He was still in the bond of iniquity. He was still bound up in the gall of bitterness. Such was his life, despite his outward profession of salvation. Oh, friend, please realize this tonight, that if you die in your sin, depending on your money for salvation or depending on your knowledge for salvation, then you too will perish in hell. You'll perish in a lost eternity. You'll perish in the bond of your iniquity, in the bond of your sins. You'll be lost forever and ever in that place where God forgets to be merciful, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, the place of everlasting punishment and judgment for sin. Friend, realize tonight that only the Lord Jesus Christ can liberate you from the bondage of iniquity. We were singing of that earlier on. What was the ministry of Christ when he came into this world? Listen to what he says in Luke's Gospel chapter 4 and the verse number 18. Speaking of his own ministry, he says, of God the Father, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. And friend, only the Lord Jesus Christ can save your soul from hell, from being lost. Remember what he said, speaking of himself, he said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Yes, Simon was baptized. He outwardly appeared to belong to the church at that particular time. But the Word of God says he was still a perishing sinner. The Word of God says that he was still in the bond of iniquity and in the gall of bitterness. You see, his money, his outward profession, his baptism, and all the rites and works that he had done could not save his soul, could not change his life, could not break the fetters of sin that bound him. You see, there was no dealings with Christ in his life and his heart. It was all an outward show. It was all an outward sham. But Christ was missing in his life and in his heart. You look at verse number 22 and look at the counsel that Peter gives to him. How faithful Peter is to this man's soul. He says, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." He counseled Simon. Peter told Simon to repent of his sin, to turn from his sin. He told him to ask the Lord for the forgiveness of his sins and for the pardon of his sins. Yes, he had good counsel. He had wise counsel. He had faithful counsel, godly counsel. But you know, Simon didn't heed the counsel. He didn't heed the messenger of God. For instead, if you look at the chapter, you'll see how Simon asked Peter to pray for him that he might be spared God's judgment. He doesn't come himself to the Lord. Look at verse number 24 of the chapter. It says, "Then answered Simon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." You know, when you look at Simon here and you analyze him, you can say, yes, here's a man, and he wanted heaven. He wanted to be in heaven. But he was not prepared to humble himself before God and confess his sin to the Lord and repent of his sin to the Lord. You know, you never read in the Bible of him coming to the Lord and heeding this counsel of Peter, and repenting of his sins and calling upon the Lord to forgive him. You never read of him getting right with God. And friends, here you see the awful ruin, the awful tragedy of a false profession of salvation. Friend, it's a warning to everyone in this meeting tonight. And friend, unsaved, let me say this, that if you are to be wise, you must repent of your sins to God. You must confess your sins to God. It's not confessing your sins to a preacher that saves you. It is confessing your sins to the Lord. You must own your sin before the Lord. You must ask the Lord to save your soul. You must ask the Lord to cleanse away your sin by His precious blood shed upon the cross of Calvary. There must be dealings in your heart and in your soul with the Lord. The Bible says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Perhaps you say, "I'll get to heaven without repentance." You'll not. For Christ says, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." There's no salvation without repentance. Without a coming to the Lord and a confessing of your sin to the Lord. And a seeking of the Lord for salvation. You turn with me over to John's Gospel and to the chapter number 6. A very well known verse, I want you to look at it, verse number 37 of the chapter. One that I'm sure maybe is familiar to almost every single one in this meeting, from the very youngest to the oldest. Christ here is speaking of those who are saved, those who will be in heaven, who are born again of the Spirit of God, who are washed in the blood of Christ. And he says, "All that the Father giveth me," notice it, "shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Notice those words, "All that the Father giveth shall come to me." That is, come to Christ in faith for salvation. And I want to ask you tonight a personal question. It's a pointed question, but it's an important question. Have you come to Christ in your heart? Have you confessed your sin to the Lord Jesus? Have you thanked the Lord Jesus for dying on the cross for you? Have you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul, to wash away your sin by His own blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary? Praise God, friend, tonight there's mercy with the Lord. We're in the day of mercy, we're in the day of grace, and the Lord promises that if you come to Him by faith, you'll look to Him, repenting of your sin, confessing your sin to Him, He will save your soul. That's the promise of God. He says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." He says, "Look unto me and be saved." Tonight we're in the day of grace. Friend, unsaved, you're sitting in the day of opportunity. I would say to you this evening, don't let the devil, don't let the world, don't let friends, don't let doubts keep you back from coming to Christ. Don't let such cause you to think there's no hope for you or there's no mercy for you, friend. When you're still in the day of grace, when you're still in the day of opportunity, well, you've still got breath left in your body, and you're still alive upon God's earth, friend, you're to come to the Lord. You're to seek the Lord. You're to call upon the Lord. Over in Psalm 103, and the verse number 8, we have a wonderful verse about the Lord. And this is what it says. Listen to the Word of God. It says, "The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger," and we have these wonderful words, "and plenteous in mercy." There's plenteousness of mercy with the Lord. There was mercy for Simon. He had that opportunity. But you know, you never read of him availing of that opportunity, of that mercy. Friend, don't you be like Simon. The Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Lord says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." There's mercy tonight with the Lord. There's pardon tonight with the Lord. There's cleansing with the Lord. There's salvation with the Lord. Why, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I point you not to the church tonight. I point you not to anything of man. But I point you to the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me, says Paul, upon the cross of Calvary. If you look to Him by faith, confessing your sin, taking your place as a sinner before the Lord, the Lord will save you. Oh, don't go on without Christ. Don't go on hiding behind a false profession. You can fool man. You can fool the preacher. You can fool family and friends. But you cannot fool God. How wise Hagar was when she said of the Lord, "Thou, God, seest me." Friend, God sees you tonight. He sees the need of your heart. He sees you who are still unsaved outside of Christ. Oh, don't go away tonight without the Lord. Come and trust Him. Be reconciled with God. Know your sins forgiven, dealt with, put away by the blood of the cross. We're going to